Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Great Debates Podcast.
Especially ladies. We don't have any female listeners.
That's not true, actually. Oh. We have tons of female listeners.
Okay.
I would say a surprisingly strong demographic we have, based on the emails and tweets that I look at, Indian American women. So, shout out to them.
Shout out.
I would like to begin the debating, if we might.
Should we just get into it?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just get into it with the mic.
This was submitted by a listener. Listener Ashley P.
Okay.
Ashley P.
Ashley P.
And I think we'll just take our normal stances here. Topic up for debate. Chris Farley was the best SNL cast member of all time.
So I'm taking the pro. I have to defend this. Okay, yeah, he was the best. He was. He just pioneered a whole new world of comedy. The Chris Farley Show, Van Down by the River, Matt Foley. His energy was so positive. He was exactly the guy that the SNL audience is looking for. Basically an overgrown child, full of energy, stomping around the stage, breaking stuff. That's what's exciting about SNL. There are tons and tons of great people who've come through there. But when you think about being 12 and staying up late and watching SNL, what you want is Chris Farley. And he was that.
Chris Farley was great, man. I loved him. And here's the issue. The reason that you're saying when you were 12, he was what you wanted is because you were 12 when he was on SNL. And this is the common mistake that everyone makes. This is so common that it's become a hacky point of view, which is that your favorite cast is the SNL cast is the one when you were the most impressionable. Usually for boys and girls, it's like between the ages of 10 and 15 or something like that. Chris Farley was great. He was hilarious. There's no question. His tenure was actually, I think, shorter than it should have been. He didn't give us that much. You've pointed to the ones that are the most memorable. The first Matt Foley sketch was amazing. They did it again and again, diminishing returns. The first one with Spade Applegate is fantastic. Can you remember any others after that? They're all the same. The Chris Farley Show was very funny. But you said that he broke new ground in some way. They were doing fake talk shows before that. I don't see how that's anything new. To me, the greatest cast member of all time is Phil Hartman. I don't have to prove that he is, but his talents were so incredible because he could do hysterical characters like the anal retentive chef, and he could also be, for example, the dad in the Matt Foley sketch, which is an incredibly important part. That sketch falls apart if you don't have someone who you believe as a dad. When he delivers the line, like, we're actually encouraging his writing, that's actually an emotional moment. And for Chris Farley's laugh to land on the next line, you need a believable performance on the line before that. Hartman delivered it. There's other people, I don't have to prove that he was the best. I have to say Farley wasn't the best. For those reasons and more, Chris Farley was not the greatest cast member of all time. Also, he died, which is not a great thing to do. And we'll never get anything from him anymore because of that.
Hartman was a great SNL cast member, the same way Scottie Pippen was a great basketball player. And yes, we could go through the naming the names of the great SNL people, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Gilda Radner, Sandler, Spade, Chris Parnell, Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry. There's tons of great people.
Probably Will Ferrell.
But who is the guy who's has the innocence of a child, the wild outrageousness that thrives in that late night setting?
What a dumb question. If you're 45 years old, if you're 55 years old, the answer is John Belushi. If you're 45 years old, the answer is Joe Piscopo. If you're our age, the answer is Chris Farley. And if you're 15 years old, then the answer is fucking Cecily Strong. Like, these people we have put Chris Farley on such a pedestal only because he's the most relevant to us, because we still think of those sketches as being the best of all time. They weren't that much funnier than the sketches they're doing now. They weren't that much funnier, if at all, than the sketches they were doing 5 years before that. And if you look at Hartman, his tenure runs so long that he was there for multiple eras.
What'd you think?
I mean, you're kind of right, Dave.
Yeah.
Who do you think Farrell's the best of all time?
I think it's like Farrell or Hartman. I mean, Farley's great, but it's like he has high highs and that's it. Mm-hmm. He was not useful at all in any other way.
I think if you went back and watched SNL, I'm not sure I believe this topic. I liked arguing it, but I do think if you went back any time Chris Farley was on the screen would have a little bit of electricity in a way that Phil Hartman and some of these other guys would not.
But you don't always want electricity.
I admit the bias of like, you know, he was but on when
you
I
don't
was
want. You don't always want, when you're not the principal of a sketch or one of the principals, you don't want electricity. Farley made the mistake often of overacting where it served to the detriment of the sketch.
Well, I think you're getting into a bit of technical territory and true purist appreciation rather than what the common man is looking for.
Okay, whatever.
It's host chat.
I think most common men would say Will Ferrell was a better cast member than Chris Farley. What do you got on host chat?
Well, we got our live show coming up. July 27th.
Great. Everyone knows. UCB, Sunset, great.
Dave, what is
you got
this
whoa,
attitude?
Whoa,
what is this
whoa.
About?
I just, you know, the, so the self-promotion. It's embarrassed oily.
This
sweaty.
Is such a tension inside you, dude. This is why, you know.
You know what
this
it is?
This is part really? Of what makes yeah. great debates great,
I'm
in
nervous.
My opinion.
I'm nervous. You
You're
know?
Nervous why? We did a live event. It was great. That one was the real stressor.
Do you think we should have worn suits? Was that too much?
I felt it was a little bit like we were going for a certain thing, and yeah. maybe we can go for something different this time.
A
and
different
see how that
kind
works.
Of costume,
different kind
vibe.
Of suit, yeah. a linen suit.
Let's see how we feel.
A yeah. denim.
But anyway, we're gonna try and put on a great denim show suit. For you. Okay. So come out to UCB Junior.
It's
that's
agreed.
UCB Sunset. Get a ticket on their website. I think it's up. If it's not up, then we got a problem.
Find your best denim suit.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listener Ashley, who sent in that topic, by the way. If your topic gets used on Great Debates, you get some Great Debates swag. I will send it to you. So send me an email to greatdebates69
at gmail
with your info, and I'll mail that to you. Guys, is the 69, when we first started this podcast, it was a bit of a lark. Great Debate 69 was our email and Gmail and Twitter. Now that we've become a 40-episode institution, is that 69? Every time we say it, is it a bit... We're cheapening ourselves. We're lessening what the Great Debates is.
What do you think, Medina? I love it.
You can stick by your guns, I think.
I think that the more...
Stick to your guns.
I think that, like, the less we address the issue, the better off we are.
Mm.
I mean, look, all the other things were taken, right? Like, greatdebates@gmail.com was taken, right? So we had to just do something. 69 is the funniest number. It looks good. It's funny.
I'd like to bring up an observation that Medina made a while ago that I think about almost every single day.
Really?
Yeah. You know when you're typing in your iPhone, you're writing a text or whatnot, and it gets to that thing where it's like, it thinks it's a capital letter, and then you're like, no, it's not. You know what I'm talking about. And you expressed very well that this is our generation's like, oh, no, sorry. Oh, no. Okay, sorry. I thought you were going to you and your computer are engaged in that little dance like you do when you pass somebody on the sidewalk. I think about that every single day when I'm writing a text.
Host chat.
Is another equivalent to that the situation where you... That, like, this used to be in a Kevin James stand-up routine from, like, 1993, which was, like, that moment of, like, unlocking power doors when someone else is trying to unlock, yes. trying to open the door
yeah,
on a car.
When you're unlocking
when you're
the
like,
car
just
door.
Give me
no, sorry, you did it before.
But, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Just let me.
Yeah, one minute, just, you can't be. Okay, just. Did Kevin James ever audition for SNL? Why wasn't he on SNL?
That's a great question. I bet he did.
He must have. That's got to be out there.
Unless he...
I've never heard a story about that or anything, though.
I don't know. I wonder if Marc Maron would be interested in that.
Mm.
Has Kevin James been on Marc Maron?
I don't know.
Who does Marc Maron follow up Obama with?
I know.
Pope.
The Pope. Pope Frank. He would. He would, wouldn't he?
I would love that.
That son of a bitch. He would do it.
Healy, do you like the Pope?
Yes, I love the Pope. I think we got a great Pope.
We do.
You couldn't ask for a better Pope.
We finally have a Pope for this
era.
No,
you could. Absolutely could.
No way.
Because to be any better, he wouldn't be the Pope anymore.
Great. That's the best.
Well, that is, you know, let's be cool.
Wolf in sheep's clothing.
He's killing it, man.
He's killing it.
I feel like he could be partly credited with the Supreme Court decision that happened this
week. Whoa.
It just because the guy's changed the times, man. People are thinking in a different way, in large part because of this dude. He's saying it's okay.
I go the opposite way. I say people have changed their minds for decades already, and that large institutions are way behind the times, and the Pope, this is not revolutionary. This is long overdue. Is absurd.
But it's that this guy that needs to give everyone permission, right, to finally say,
I guess
I'm
the
say
larger
my
thing
out
to me is he shouldn't have to. Why?
Well, forget about the gay stuff. What about the aggressive way the Pope has gone about climate change and economic inequality? It seems like it would be. He's basically doing no logo shit.
The dude's
all he's
in touch,
saying,
man.
I don't understand why a human being should get credit in the year 2015 for saying climate change is real and we need to do something about it.
No. He's saying very radical stuff about, like, you know, that our whole society is skewed. We're thinking way too much about market and economic forces, and we're deeply out of balance, just forgetting about climate change. That's just ancillary.
Nor is that radical. All of the people who I trust have been saying that for literally
decades. Now the Pope is one of those guys with Susan
Faludi or
whoever you like.
But that doesn't mean that he deserves credit for being correct.
I think it's very difficult in that role to say things of that magnitude and controversialness.
I think he's proven just how easy it is. I think he's proven not only how easy it is, but how politically advantageous it is. Just because his predecessors were hardcore assholes who were 100 years behind the times doesn't mean he should get credit for being a kind of nice guy who's only 30 years behind the times.
If you take over this ancient, antiquated tradition and you move it dramatically
years. You know what it is? You know what my corollary is? Is the manager of the year awards in sports. Every year it goes to... No, listen, hear me out on this. I think I'm going to make a good point. Every year, the manager or coach of the year goes not to the coach or manager who is either the coach of the best team or the person who people think have done the best job.
Okay.
It is the coach or manager of the team who has either A, improved the most, or B, exceeded expectations by the most. It's never actually given to the person who's done the best job. It's always like, this thing could have been a fucking disaster, but they actually won 85 games. I'm giving it to Lloyd McClendon or Jack McKeon when the Marlins weren't expected to win. He's not as good a manager as Bobby Cox or whoever it is. I mean,
who do you think is the best coach or manager in sports right now?
Bill Belichick. It's Bruce Belichick in a walk. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, Belichick could. Bochy second.
Who's Bochy?
Bochy's cool. He's the Giants coach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good manager.
Do you know that two women from the U.S. women's national team of soccer live with Jeff Van Gundy at his house?
They live with Jeff Van Gundy?
Yeah, he's like a host family for them.
That's cool.
I'm loving the U.S. women's national team. They're such a bunch of badass, nasty bitches.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're fierce. They swear. They yell at each other. They yell at the other team. They're nasty and vile. I think that's some kind of progress.
I'm going to watch that.
Interesting.
Now.
It's probably over, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm going to watch some shit.
Guys, it feels silly to end what was a hot debate breaking out to move into a
debate. I feel like we could just keep going and
that's
talk about the
topic.
Pope.
Oh, good topic.
No, I don't know. Let's go. Let's do
our thing. We picked a topic.
All right, you got something.
Okay, guys. So this topic was submitted to us at the live event that we last had.
Oh, right.
And we're going to have to parse this phraseology here. I don't really know what
if you weren't there, everybody at the live event had a note card. They could write down a topic. Some people wrote down, they didn't seem to totally grasp how we operate, but nonetheless.
But we want to honor the original wording. And
this topic was so interesting in the way that it was expressed, I think that
don't know who submitted this.
I wish we did. And if you can really lay claim to this, please write us an email at greatdebate69@gmail.com. Okay, the original wording, space program versus whatever James Cameron is doing underwater.
Okay. Okay, cool.
We need to build a debate out of this somehow.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to take the pro James Cameron side.
Oh. I mean, Jimmy Cam's?
I will take either side,
take Cameron. That's fine. This will be interesting. I don't like either of these things that much.
Oh, great. Let's do it.
So go ahead.
Okay. All right. Listen, we on the planet Earth,
here we go.
We know so little about the undersea life. Is that really? Do you, are you really not interested in like the bottom of the ocean and that we don't know anything about it? I get it. You're making beautiful snore noises.
I'm gonna get my mask.
What?
I'm gonna get my sleep apnea mask.
Listen, a couple years ago, I was gonna sail across the Pacific, and I called up a guy at the Long Beach Aquarium. I was like, "Hey, listen, I'm just trying to learn about undersea life. When I'm in the middle of the Pacific, if I just walk me through what's below me," and the guy goes, "Oh, we have no idea." And I was like, "What?" And he was like, "Yeah, we know almost nothing about the bottom of the ocean. It constitutes probably 70% of the Earth, mm-hmm. and we have no idea what's going on down there. It's deeply expensive to send probes down to the bottom of the Earth. It's like visiting the moon. They can only go down there very briefly, and then they come back up. From the very brief snapshots we have from the Sylvia beaches and these people of the world, we know that there is insane, incredible life down there. We know that there are animals that are living in 700-degree water off the magnesium and stuff that's coming up from undersea vents. As far as we know, it's very possible that a quarter of the biomass on Earth is living in some kind of in-between crust state around the magma of the Earth. We have barely even begun to sample the wonders of this planet. When we get that and we nail that, then we will have the tools to better explore space and develop the resources of other planets. But the work that James Cameron is doing in putting so much money behind deep sea exploration is heroic, triumphant, a great measure for science. He is doing great work. He's a hero of mine.
I haven't heard anything about what he's actually doing underwater.
He's sending that's the end of probes and stuff.
He's sending probes and stuff. He's sending probes and stuff. I think you said it best yourself. Reaching the bottom of the ocean, and please don't interrupt me, Healy. I can see you dying to jump in here, but you got to give me 90 seconds. Reaching the bottom of the ocean.
Wouldn't it, if opening statements become 90 seconds? I just made that up.
Also, I was snoring. Reaching the bottom of the ocean, you said, is, quote, like visiting the moon.
Yeah.
Like visiting the moon.
Yeah.
Well, I think that sums it up perfectly. The expanses of space go so far beyond the moon, our nearest neighbor, something we conquered so easily, or not conquered, but visited 50 years ago. The reaches of space are essentially
nothing. Dusty rock.
Essentially limitless. Whereas the bottom of the ocean is a finite world, and in due time we'll find it. There's a larger issue here, which is that you have James Cameron, I have the entire space program. Certainly James Cameron has a large amount of resources. I haven't heard anything about what he's actually doing. The space program has obviously way more resources than James Cameron has. It also has, for lack of a better word, bureaucracy in place to make sure that it's not just being run by some director.
Red tape, forms, commissions. That's how you get stuff done in the space program.
James Cameron has never done a movie under budget or on time. So if you're looking for red tape, look no further than James Cameron.
Wait, what?
Well, I made that up, but I bet it's true.
Also, he's made billions of dollars. His movies are like the top four biggest movies of all time.
They're the top two. I'm not saying they're not profitable, but I'm saying that he is notorious.
If you're just talking about more effective in the last 20 years, James Cameron or the space program, it's James Cameron.
We're not talking about more effective. We're not talking. You're saying if his only effect has been profit. We're not talking about what actual scientific.
Okay, here's a guy who sets out to do stuff and crushes it.
He found the Titanic.
Now he's setting out. No, he didn't. That wasn't him. That was Ballard.
I know.
But now he's doing like
great. Deep, he didn't even do that.
Now he's doing like deep sea submersible stuff. He's got some ships or whatever, and he's sending,
he's got probes, right?
He's got probes.
That's so cool.
What's the space program doing? They can barely resupply the space station. It's one disaster after another up there.
Well, look, the space station makes one key mistake, which is that they keep sending manned missions into outer space. I don't agree with that. They could do 10 times more if they just stopped using men. We have rovers reaching the far reaches of our universe. I don't really know. I don't know much about the space program. But I will say this. The impact of the space program is not meant to be purely based on the impact. It goes far. It goes much further than just the actual discoveries that we make. It inspires people. I think we've said this on the debates before. There was no greater advertisement for math and science than when we landed on the moon in 1969. This is the kind of thing that inspires young children, teenagers, college students to invest their time and resources, and for universities and for higher education institutions to invest their resources in math, science, astronomy, physics, which in turn gives us an exponential effect of discovery that researching underwater does not, it just simply doesn't have the same magic.
Great, it's cool. The landing on the moon was cool. It's going to be a long time until the next leap of
that's
getting guys
true.
On Mars.
The first
it's,
pictures from Mars came back, people were astonished.
Yeah, people were like, that's
far
okay.
more than when you saw.
They liked the Mohawk guy, that he was cool. Everybody liked him.
I don't know who that is.
You remember that he was the guy in the Jet Propulsion Lab or whatever working on the Mars?
No rover. Idea. Can you name...
You know who Mohawk guy
name
is.
Name one thing that we've seen underwater in the last 20 years that's been as inspirational or as much of an event
unfortunately,
as when
that's the
rover
problem.
Landed
we haven't,
on Mars.
We haven't been popularizing.
That's the problem now.
Well,
now
thank
that's
goodness.
The problem.
We have
been, how long is James Cameron
we
did,
have
doing
the great
his shit
James
underwater?
Cameron, one of the world's great popularizers, working on the problem, and that's going to be fantastic. When he starts
doing what?
Pack
what exactly?
IMAX movies of tube worms that are living off heat that's coming up from the interior of the ocean. He's like, here is energy and life in new forms and possibilities of exploration beyond anything we could even conceive of. When we get to new planets, what is their life going to look like? We don't even know what all the life on our planet looks like yet. What are we going to do when we meet aliens and they're like, "What? Oh, great. What's your planet like?" And we're like, we have no idea. We don't know what's at the bottom of the ocean. I guess they got turtles. They're like, oh, because we harness that energy and it helps us to fuel a perfectly smooth biosphere that's thermally powered by our planet, and that's how we have this perfect civilization, and I think we're actually going to conquer you guys and take your ocean resources since you obviously don't care about them. And Earth ends in catastrophe.
I would like to invite you to write the sequel to the movie Contact, where that scene takes place, where an alien finally makes contact with us and asks what the Earth is like, and you play the guy who describes how you don't even know. Oh, maybe we have turtles.
Okay,
Healy, I'm gonna take the scope.
Wait,
of
who's gonna be the actor in that movie? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, who's gonna play that part in the movie? Steve Zahn or somebody?
No, it's you.
Really, it's gonna be an actor.
Steve Zahn.
It's Ruffalo.
Okay, you be an alien, and I'll be Ruffalo, and we'll do the scene.
Okay. Hey, I'm an alien. What do you guys have on your planet?
Yeah, we don't know. We got rainforest and we deforested it.
What's your job again?
I'm a ocean guy.
And that's probes. All you know is that we have rainforest?
Well, I'm working on the probes.
This
but
seems more like this is more indicative
listen,
of your
man,
particular character than it is about the knowledge that humans
we don't
possess
know, okay?
As
we
a
don't
whole.
Go to the bottom of the ocean. We don't know that.
I'm not concerned with the bottom of the ocean. I asked you a question about your planet
I'm
as a whole.
I'm saying we don't know. Most of our planet's ocean.
And
we don't know
scene.
What's there.
That was terrible
that was
for both
skip.
Of us. Here's something big. I want to bring up a bigger, more aesthetic point. I think
okay.
you'll like this here.
Okay.
Shit at the bottom of the ocean is creepy. It's weird. It's ugly.
Buddy,
it's nasty.
What do you think we're going to find when we get to Venus or whatever? It's
oh
going to be nasty.
Healy, pictures of outer space are... I mean, there's a reason that the most popular like wallpapers, screensavers, all, beautiful aesthetics of the universe, of galaxies, people love that shit. I don't even love it as much as other people seem to. It's so popular.
I think actually
NASA's one of the most popular accounts on Instagram is NASA.
I think you get to a good point, which is that we are a little afraid of what's at the bottom of the ocean, but I don't
maybe
think
we should
run from our fears. I think we need to face up to them. I think that's where real human pioneering discovery comes from, when you're brave enough to explore the darkest reaches, and those are at the bottom of the ocean.
All right, closing statements?
That was mine.
Oh, okay. In summation, James Cameron, one guy, a lot of money, haven't heard anything about what he's actually doing.
Probes.
Space
program. We said probes.
Space program as a whole, enormous amount of resources. Do they do everything perfectly? No. Should they stop sending manned missions? I believe they should. What they have done for the sciences and our understanding of the world around us is by so many leaps and bounds more important and more meaningful than what James Cameron has done so far. Here's another thing. James Cameron is not singularly devoted to exploring the under... He's fucking busy on Avatar 2 and 3. This is a guy who has divided interests. The space program only has one job, and that's to explore space. James Cameron is still a director who's trying to make billion-dollar movies, and he will. But he's got other shit going on. That's a huge point in favor of the space program versus whatever James Cameron, what is it, has going on underwater. Whatever James Cameron is doing underwater. End of closing statement.
Oh. What do you think, Medina?
You know, there's that Charles Eames film, The Powers of Ten.
Yes, love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah really, really up, brings to mind here, yeah.
And then they go way down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the idea that there's so much left to explore underwater, that it could be, as far as we're concerned, as vast as space, I think is interesting.
That thing about
it's definitely the sexier argument, but is it the right one?
The thing about a quarter of the world's biomass, like living in the mantle-y crust, was told to me by this guy who works as a researcher at USC, and he's just sort of casually tossed that off. And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah, they think about a quarter of the biomass.
But they have no idea. It could be less.
No idea what's going on down there. I don't know. I think
we're really into life. And just I know it's still on our planet that we'd be fine, but it's like almost separated in a way. It's far enough away that you could imagine this being semi-alien life.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. What if for 10 years they switched? What if for 10 years NASA and James Cameron were just like, we do a similar thing, but we do it in opposite, we go the opposite way.
That's great.
We'll use our technology underwater, and you try your ideas in outer space.
I think it would be great for both, because Cameron would be so focused, he would pick three or four very targeted things, and then he would crush them. And NASA, meanwhile, would discover all kinds of interesting new areas of research down there.
So go ahead, write your senators and your representatives, tell them James Cameron and the space program should switch for 10 years. Call it the King Doctrine.
Who is your representative? Do you know?
In California?
Yeah.
I don't know who my congressman is. Do you?
Yeah.
Who?
It's Adam, what's his name? The Armenian guy.
Wow. You have a real...
Great job.
Yeah.
Real grasp on his name there. That was impressive.
I'm forgetting his last name, but he gave me his staffer gave me a tour of Congress.
You know what's crazy is that, what's his name is still the governor? Davis.
No. Brown is the governor.
Oh, Brown, right.
Davis is long gone.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
While back.
What are you gonna do, Jerry Brown. How old is he?
He's old. Yeah. He ran against Bill Clinton in 92. Remember that?
Yeah.
Clinton walked over to him and really got in his face in the debate. Shut him down.
Can we edit out the part where I said Gray Davis was the governor?
Thanks for listening.
And just one last reminder that we're live again.
Don't tell people. Everybody knows. I'm
July
Dave. Who
cares? 27th.
Don't come to my thing that I'm putting on because I'm torn up inside about whether to have a thing or not.
And Dave and us and Steve and me, we're all looking forward to seeing you there.
That was a little mean.
Oh, buddy. I'm sorry.
No, I'm kidding. I love it.
Talk to you guys soon here on the Great Debates.
What a beautiful face I have found in this place that is circling all around the sun. What a beautiful dream that could flash on the screen in a blink of an eye and be gone from me. Soft and sweet, let me hold it close and keep it here with me. And one day we will die, and our ashes will fly from the aeroplane over the sea. But for now.